Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All in all, I was there. And this my biggest takeaway from that preseason game, and I'm being sincere when I say this, training camp and the preseason are like a long series of clues towards what we're actually going to see in the regular season. Okay? Like, don't get too – I think we've all kind of learned with the last month of Carson Wentz coverage that you shouldn't get too high, too low on any singular throw at training camp, and don't draw conclusions from training camp. Now, at times maybe there are – you know, we're seeing real chunks that we can start to make up our minds with, but it's all kind of a process. And by and large, the beginning is – what's important, and the end is just we're watching some guys that probably make this roster. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many awful second half of preseason games that my takeaway from the overall game is that the second half of that game was really fun. It was really fun to watch Sam Howell. The comeback was fun. I don't know that it's important, but it was fun.
I think it is important because I think a lot of times you see the backups go into a game and they go through the motions. I think you saw a lot of guys that are still close to the tempo of college football, and they played very much like that. You know, in the last 2 years, once the starters left out the game, I did not see much that made me want to even pay attention to the game. Hell, I was turning off games. While being a guy who was broadcasting the game, I wouldn't even watch after the starters left the game. I watched that whole game very intently once I saw those guys come in because defensively and offensively, they were playing – faster, I felt, than the starters played. You know, and I know people go, well, they're playing against number twos. Well, they're number twos, too. And if your number twos are better than their number twos, eventually your team is stronger than the other team.
Well, think about how much we talked about last year in the third preseason game when the Ravens just really manhandled the then football team. Mm-hmm. And there was this chorus of, oh, don't worry about it. It's just preseason. No big deal. It's the third string. Well, their third string was way better than Washington's third string. I don't know. The second half of that game was fun to watch, and it showed good competitive spirit. Also showed some knucklehead plays by players on penalties that you just can't have. But I'd like to at least start with the beginning because I think the players in the beginning are what's going to matter a lot more this season. Mm-hmm. And I'll start offensively, B. The amount of attention and consternation on the quarterback has been nonstop since Carson Wentz arrived. It's also the nature of the position. It's also the nature of this city. We always focus on the quarterback. So we can start with Carson. I thought he was pretty good. I mean, the stats are pretty obvious that he was 10 of 13. I don't think you could look at 10 of 13 and question the accuracy. Not a lot of chunk plays. I mean, 10 passes for 74 yards, 10 completions for 74 yards is pretty remarkable in the NFL. Like, P.J. Walker, who I don't think anybody expects to go to Canton, had 10 completions for 136 yards, mm-hmm. just for a comparison. The thing I was most encouraged by with Wentz, and I'm curious what you think about this, because I went back and watched it, and I read through quotes and everything, and I remember this looking different with Fitzpatrick. The thing that I was most impressed by, one, was an ability to just take the bunnies. He made all of his layups, right? Like the underneath stuff, going to Samuel on the outside. There was a nice pass to McKissick. McKissick is such a baller, by the way. But I think what I was most impressed by with Wentz, just the procedural stuff, the operational aspects to this offense looked crisp. There was never anybody scrambling to get to the line of scrimmage. There was never, like, anybody out of place. There was never extra hand signals. Now, I recognize this isn't exactly a raucous crowd. Carolina's defense was playing incredibly basic. Like, but it seemed like play calling came into his helmet. He called the play in the huddle. They got to the line of scrimmage, and it was just fast. And you and I talk about they've got to play fast. Now, they went three and out. Then they had a Gibson fumble. It wasn't until that third drive they finally got stuff moved. But it never looked discombobulated. And frankly, in early August, sometimes you get discombobulated. And I even think last year with Fitzpatrick at the helm, they never looked crisp in the preseason. And then Fitz went down in the first half of the first game, so we don't even know what that would have become. Mm-hmm. But that's of Wentz's performance. That's what stood out to me, was that he seemed on top of everything.
I mean, and I don't expect him not to be on top of it. But, you know, to be honest with you, Jay, I'll be honest with you. The first team I felt was blah. Okay, I felt that Carolina's first team was better than our first team, offensively and defensively. And Carson was accurate, but most of his passes that he completed were 10 yards or less. The ones he threw deep were late and behind the receivers. So yeah. I look at the whole thing. Like, listen, 10 of 13 is great. But as I told the guys this morning, give me 10 of 13. Let's multiply it times 3. Now you're 30 of 39. And you still have 222 yards. I mean, and no touchdown. And no ball in the end zone. So at the end of that, it will look very blah. So, yes, he was accurate. He got in and out the huddle, what I was looking for. They didn't have a lot of penalties on the offense early on, which I was looking for. So that's a passing grade for me in the first game, but I still expect to see a little more. As you stated earlier with P.J. Walker and other guys that I watched around the league this year, they were going down the field on target. They wasn't throwing it behind the player. And I know you were talking to him. You said the guy got away and made a great play. Yeah, if he threw the ball with the right velocity and in the right place, that guy never gets over there. He was able to get over there because the ball was fluttering and late.
On the third down?
The
first
one down the left side to Terry.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm not saying it was great, but I'm saying it was, from a functionality standpoint, they functioned well.
They functioned well, but
if I had to, if you had to give Wentz a letter grade, I'm at a B minus.
Yeah,
maybe?
I just can't. Listen. I know it's not it's an individual person. Turnovers is a damn problem. And AG, he has to correct that.
That's where I wanted to go next.
Because the guy that came in wearing number 8, that's a baller. I don't care if it's the first game or not. You just watch the way he does things. And this is why when people start raving so much, I go back to how McKissick looks like a legitimate. That's what he does. Robinson looks very legitimate in what he's doing. And if you can't hold on to the football, those two guys end up getting the plays, and you sitting on the damn sideline.
I almost wonder, Brian. So Rivera, last year Rivera was super protective of Gibson on the fumbling issue. He basically said, we don't even want to talk about it because it's not an issue. It's something we addressed and we'll move forward. Which is banana land, but that's a coach trying to protect his guy when he doesn't think he has another option. After this game, it was a very different tone. Rivera said, Antonio's got to run harder when he starts to shuffle and go sideways. Mm-hmm. That's when he struggles. And if you watch Robinson's first carry, and it's all over social media, so you can go watch it. Some of this, B, is just that Robinson is a natural running back. Then, let's be real about Alabama, about the University of Alabama. If you play at Bama, you're getting the best coaching in the country.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to downgrade Ohio State or Clemson or LSU or USC or Notre Dame or whatever the hell else. There's a lot of great coaching out there. But if you play at Alabama, you are getting the absolute best coaching where everything, excellence is demanded.
Yeah.
Excellence. Not pretty good, not okay, excellence. And so a kid like Brian Robinson, who was at Bama for 5 years and finally got on the field, he's going to do everything right. everything coaches want in being patient behind the line of scrimmage, to press a hole, make one cut, go north, north-south, not east-west. You saw it on the first run. I mean, literally, if you go look at Antonio Gibson's fumble, and then if you look at Brian Robinson's first carry in the NFL, the play call was fairly similar. Like, where the hole opened up was fairly similar. And, B, I wonder if I really try not to be reactionary to preseason games. I don't think it's an accident that we saw Robinson in on the next drive and that Gibson then got real work with Heineke in a backup offensive line.
No, it's not. You know, and I think for me, Jay, when I looked at it, I look at little simple things when I look at football, okay? I'm not like a lot of people that you're looking for the big plays, this, that, and the other. Every time Antonio Gibson is being tackled, he has one hand on the ball, and the other hand is away, like trying to brace himself or something of the nature. Going through, he'll have two hands, and then he starts going through the line. He takes one hand off the ball, and that is why the guy was able to punch that ball out like it was. Every time you watch Brian Robinson, every time someone off color shows up, his left hand comes back over the ball, or if he's carrying it in his left, his right hand. But he doesn't always lock it up. But he brings it there just in case he has to. You see what I'm saying? And I just think that mental aspect of always being prepared, because the difference between college, and I don't care if you're at Alabama or Memphis, they don't rake the ball like they do at this level. Guys, the coaches tell them, one guy you go for the ball, the other guy go for the player. Or you go for the player first, and then you come for the ball. But every time they're trying to tackle you, they're also trying to rip the ball. The most valuable thing in football is the damn football.
That's pretty simple.
So, and I think ultimately, see, at third year in the league, I no longer give him the excuse that he's not a natural running back. I mean, people got to get over that BS. Let's start judging a person.
I played
quarterback for 9 years.
That's what you do.
So when I started carrying the football, you know, you have to learn stuff. And I think ultimately it comes down to you cannot break everyone. You know, I look at in college, so he ran punt return, kick return. He ran a lot of jet sweeps, ran a lot of hitches, and a lot of slants, which means you always had the ball in your hand. So whether you're a receiver or a running back, you know how you're supposed to carry the ball. And at 3 years now, and you're still loosely carrying it and you let it go, that was probably the worst thing that could have happened for him. With that damn Brian Robinson right behind him, you know, totally. In the first preseason game, because they want to see the young man come out and do some stuff. Now, we don't know how it's going to go forward. I'm just saying, based off of what I saw, Brian Robinson seems to be the truth. He attacks it, but he showed me way more. He's not just a pounder. He's totally. A complete running back.
Even if Gibson hadn't fumbled on that carry, he's still doing too much, and it's still not what Robinson does. Rivera also said this of Gibson. Sometimes he tries to make a big play. Every play is designed to score, but when it's not going to score, you've got to understand, if it's not there, just stick my foot in the ground and get what I can and protect the ball.
Yeah.
Even now, Gibson's fumble, the defender made a really excellent play. I mean, Gibson is basically airborne, parallel to the ground, going down, and the defender came in and punched that thing out.
Or bring the other hand on the ball and to protect it.
Totally. Like, he made the mistake, undeniably, but it was a good play by the defender, too. But it never even should have gotten to that. He should have just cut back to the left. There was a little bit of an opening, gain 4 or 5 yards, and get the hell down. Like, I think, listen, man, everybody was kind of shaking their head when they drafted a running back in the third round, and I think it was pretty obvious preseason game one. Why? Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because Gibson's a really nice young man with an incredible skill set. You're right. Dude, it's 3 years.
Yeah.
It's 3 years of this.
See, I just think that the mindset that we have in this town is like we're always saying the guy. I remember when Gilbert Arenas was still here. Gilbert was 26, 27, and people were still saying he was young. Damn, he came into the league like 20 years old. He's no longer young. So I just think that we have to start looking at stuff for what it is and start holding people accountable for what we think they need to be doing. That excuse of, oh, he's not a real running back. It's his third damn year. He's had a lot of success at it. And now he needs to learn how to get it done and move forward with it.
He ran for 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah.
He's gone over 1,000 yards from scrimmage both years he's in the NFL. He's got more than 20 touchdowns in two seasons.
Like,
he's an NFL running back at this point. Stop fumbling, man. You can't, like, you will not keep this job. So I want to get into the fumbling issue concerns me, but not as much as what concerns me most coming out of Saturday. I don't know if you agree, B, but I want to talk about the defense.
Yeah.
I want to talk about third down conversions. I mean, Baker Mayfield opened that game. So, Washington gets the ball, 3 and out.
Yep.
Okay. Hold on. Before we get to my greatest concern, Ron Rivera was irate with the kick return game. Uh-huh. I'm curious how you felt about the kick return game.
Well, I felt that I watched the blocker. See, when Ron talked, he kind of talked about the kick returner coming out the end zone. But the dude was probably like 1 yard deep, I think, something like that. And that kick wasn't that much.
The first one was deep, dude. I bet he was 6-7 yards deep.
But the thing I'm trying to say is, when he caught the ball, they were inside the 15. Did anybody block prior to that?
Oh, the defense was the coverage team. The kickoff team.
The coverage team. So what you do, you have to hinder them, and you also have to stop them. I saw a lot of guys catching instead of delivering a blow. And I'm not trying to say knock somebody on their butt, but if I get in front of you and stifle you a little bit or put my hand on your shoulder and push you out, I give my guy a chance. You know, it's easy to say the returner didn't get to the 25. But we don't know if that kicker kicks it high, low, what. But I know one damn thing. If I catch the ball and I take a step, the opposing team should not be inside the 15 already. So the whole operation of the kick return has to improve. The kick returner, because I watch a lot of those guys run looking like, tackle me, you know, instead of hitting the hole like a bat out of hell. And I watch a lot of the blockers not blocking.
Ron opened his comments after the game. First of all, on kickoff, we can't get the ball outside the 25. That was a little infuriating to me. There was no excuse for that. If we are going to return the ball, we need to buzz and get outside the 20. You can't have your offense starting inside the 20. That is the first thing.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's an argument Pete Haley and I have frequently on, he always wants home run hitters as punt returners, right? And he loves Steven Sims a few years ago because Sims proved that he could take it to the house, right? Mm-hmm. What I want and what coaches tell you they want is somebody that makes smart decisions, especially on punts, because a lot of times on punts, you're backed up inside your own 20, often inside your own 10, inside your own 5, and you got to be smart. And I value being smart in those situations and ball security above all else. Now, every once in a while, one player emerges that is smart, makes good decisions, and can be a home run hitter. His name is Brian Mitchell. But those guys don't grow on trees, right? Mm-hmm. So give me the smart guy every time. And I really thought this – I still believe – I think this kid, Alex Erickson, is way out. People don't have him making the team on their roster projections. I very much do because he's an actual punt returner. But damn, if Erickson and McGowan didn't make just stupid decisions, and maybe the blocks are getting blown up, and I understand it's preseason. You want to make a play. You want to stand out. You want to show why you deserve a roster spot. But the fastest way to getting cut is making stupid decisions. And I think I was astounded on two of those kickoff returns, one by each, McGowan and Erickson.
Yeah.
And you got to be smarter with the football, man.
You got to be smarter with the football, but I just think that
– and you're right. The whole operation needs to be
better. This is preseason, and I think this is a place where you try to work on getting things worked out. And for me, I was totally different than most returners. Most of these guys are 190 or less. I started off my first year at 205, and I played for like 221 for most of my career. And I didn't believe in the running to the sideline and starting back. I believe in wherever I caught the football. If it's a right return, I catch it, I'm going 5 yards right of and in front of where I'm from. Once I hit that part, once I hit that point, everything becomes a straight middle return to me. And I think the problem with so many guys is they catch the ball and they coast. See, I'm full speed because when I start full speed upfield, the coverage team slows down, which helps your blockers out, okay? And I think that's part of the problem. We watch guys catch the ball and they're coasting. When you're coasting, the coverage team never stops running. They come full speed, and your guys, which normally they're taught to do a trail technique, what if I'm trailing a guy that runs 4-4 and I'm a 4-5? Once he's past me, I never catch him again. But if he slows down, I can run up on him and just shield him and stop the block. But too many guys don't get upfield quick enough. So if you go have a punt returner, a kick returner, you damn sure want to have the guys that are a little thicker. But punt return, people go with the smaller guy. But if I got a guy who's sure-handed, I don't care. I want him doing both of them. And I think that is something we need to start figuring out. Find somebody that can catch punts and our kickoffs and then make the proper decisions, and you'll have something going there. But just thinking because a guy was a returner in college or he did something in another team, that means nothing. He has to get to the point where he's not worried about getting hit. And some of that slow-ass running I saw on kickoff coverage, kickoff return, they worried about getting hit more than they worried about anything else.
When we come back, I want to talk about what I am most concerned about from Saturday's preseason opener for the Commanders. It has nothing to do with theme songs or stadium attendance or tweets or anything. It's about something on the field. It was a problem last year, and damn it, when the starters were out there, it was still a problem. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Go yard all summer long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run hit. Listen, I'm going to have to keep it local here, and I'm looking at Luke Voit. In 2020, he led the league in home runs, and right now he's the leader with the Nats at 15 home runs. So I'll put some money on him, and he's probably going to put some money in your pocket. So what are you waiting for? Pick your home run hitter and turn big swings into big wins. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Head over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code Brian. That's promo code Brian, B-R-I-A-N. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus is $25. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, boy. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7, The Fan. A lot of folks are fired up about the Commanders preseason opener on Saturday. We're going to talk Howell. We're going to talk about the second half. That was a lot of fun. But I think we got to focus on the starters. We kind of broke down the offense there. I think we both agree Wentz was fine. He wasn't great, but I think he was fine. I thought the offensive line did a fine job, and they're kind of patchwork right now. They've got some different pieces in there than what we expect when we get 27 days from now. It's week one. Like, this thing's moving
Fred
now.
Fred Smoot days away.
That's right. I almost had to put a hoodie on to walk the dog this morning.
Of the South.
I think Wentz was fine. The Gibson fumble's obviously a problem, and frankly, I think the Brian Robinson move is fairly obvious now. I think even if you just listen to Rivera's postgame comments taking a harsh tone compared to last year when he didn't. Last year he didn't have an option. This year he's got an option. Mm-hmm. But by far, my greatest concern, Brian, third down defense.
Yeah.
And I don't – God bless P.J. Walker and the guys that were making plays in the second half of that game. I'm not too concerned about that. When the starters were in the game, and it was really only one series. When the starters were in the game and Baker Mayfield was on the field, Chuba Hubbard was on the field for the Panthers. Mm-hmm. Like when their top players were out there, Washington could not get a stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you the play sheet. I just tweeted this out. If somebody wants to see this, it's at JB Finley NBCS. So we know Washington started with the three and out, right? I'm reading you the play sheet. Kickoff. Washington starts at their own 18 because of a bonehead decision by Alex Erickson. So, first play of the game, Gibson, no game. Wentz, short completion occurred to Samuel. Wentz incomplete that pass to Amari Rodgers down the right hash. Dressway punts, 53-yarder. Okay, Cam Sims, nice play on specials to down the ball. Here we go. Baker Mayfield takes over. Hubbard off right tackle, 4 yards. Baker Mayfield scrambles for 3 yards. It's the first third down of the game. Third and three.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield picks up 20 yards. First down. All right. Another run. Another little underneath to Giovanni Ricci from Baker. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Another one of these, B. Third and three. You know what happened?
What do you get?
Hubbard up the gut for 5 yards.
Yeah.
First down. So they're now moving. Well, this drive started at their own 23. They're now at midfield. All right, so they've already flipped field position.
Yep.
If nothing else, they've already flipped field position. If this is a real game, like, all of these things matter. Another short run, another short Mayfield pass. I'm sorry, this time Mayfield goes deep. Bobby McCain made a nice play to break up that deep ball.
He did.
I don't know, to Robbie Anderson.
That ball was scored. If Bobby doesn't come over, that's a touchdown.
Yeah. William Jackson III was in coverage. It looked like a touchdown. And then Bobby was able to make up a lot of ground and make a good play on that. That was the first down play. And you know what? When you have a first down in your opponent's territory, why not take a shot?
Yep.
So then it's second down. Baker Mayfield, short pass to this kid Ricci again, 5-yard gain. So what do we have, B? Third and five from your own 34. This third and five from your own 34 is an incredibly important position on the field. If you can get a stop here, you force a 51-yard field goal attempt.
Yep.
The probability of making a 51-yarder on the road in a stadium like FedEx that has notorious weird wind patterns, probably maybe a coin flip, probably a little bit lower than that. If you can get a sack here or a tackle for loss, you might push them out of field goal position. You might force a punt.
Yep.
Who knows which way the wind's blowing? Third and five at your own 34, incredibly critical for a defense. Incredibly critical. You know what happened? Baker Mayfield, completion, 15-yard gain, first down, Panthers.
Three for three,
so
right?
So now, what's that?
They're three for three.
They're three for three. Their first three third downs, they converted all of them. Now they get into the red zone. They're at the 19 now, and Baker kind of barfs on his sneakers. Like, he dropped a snap. He threw a terrible pass on third down. I think if Baker doesn't drop that snap on second down, I kind of think they were going to score the way they were moving the ball. And whatever, it's good they held him to a field goal, I guess. If you want to play the positivity train, huzzah, you held him to a field goal. Three third downs, three conversions. After the game, Ron Rivera said this. I thought this quote, much like the Gibson quote, I thought this was pretty telling from Ron. And I'll go back and read the downs and distances to you. This is Ron Rivera talking about the defense. You've got an opportunity on second and long when you're on defense. You've got to keep it second and long. Too many third and mediums to short. That was one of the things that Jack and I talked about, and we talked about it directly. It was obvious. You get to second and long or third and three, third and four. We can't do that. That's too hard. We've got to be better, and that's one of the things we talked about. I mean, to Ron's point, it was second and six, then it becomes third and three. It was second and nine, then it becomes third and three. It was second and ten, then it becomes third and five. And they're converting all these. Like, you cannot continue to just chalk this up and think that you're going to get your third down stops.
Yeah, you can't, but you got to realize, on the other side, their offensive coach wasn't trying to go for the gusto because it was second and ten.
Right.
He was doing very minimal things to get himself 3, 4, or 5 yards in the next play to make it third and manageable. And I think that's the ultimate thing. We can say what we want about our defense, but they ran the quick, smart things just to get a few yards to change up the dynamics of third and long or third and short or third and medium. And I think, you know, yes, it's second and 10. You should be expecting a person to come out and say, okay, they're going to try to get 3, 4 yards out of that. If they get 3 or 4 yards, now it's manageable. But we were playing for them to try and go get the 10 yards. We normally go for the 10 yards. They wasn't going for the 10. Their offensive coordinator all day, he was a step ahead because, you know what? I got you thinking what I might do, but I'm just going to get some yards. And when it becomes third and three, third and four, I do whatever the hell I want to do on my playbook. That is what happened to them that day. So if he say he and Jack have been talking, well, you should be demanding a lot more from Jack then.
Lamphill, let's grab that audio if we can. It's Ron's first comments after the game, so it shouldn't be hard to find. What do you hear here, B? So this is Ron Rivera. You've got an opportunity on second and long when you're on defense. You've got to keep it second and long. Too many third and mediums to short. That was one of the things that Jack and I talked about, and we talked about it directly.
Let's be a little bit more aggressive. What I hear is let's be a little more aggressive to where we can push the issue to make them have to, like, when you sit back, what they were doing, they were getting 3, 4 yards. And now it's
I just got a tweet from Bulls Skins. He says, if they're going to continue to play 10 yards off on third and four, nothing will change.
That's what I'm saying. So I've always felt like this. I watch us in third and 10, third and five, third and six playing 10 yards off. If I play a little bit closer and also put some pressure, the quarterback has to speed up and he has to damn near be perfect. But if I sit back and allow the receiver a free release off the ball, he runs up 5 yards, turn around, and if the quarterback's smart, the ball's already in the air and it sticks to him. Now on second and 10, guess I got third and five. And if your guy comes up and misses the tackle, I may get 2, 3 more yards or I may end up go the distance on him. So you have to get aggressive in certain situations. That's how you stop people.
I mean, second and 10 is kind of a tee-off situation. And maybe you don't want to be teeing off in preseason. I get that. But much like Ron kept the starting offense in because he wanted to see them succeed. He wanted to have them build a little confidence. I very much don't think it was an accident that that third drive, the Commanders got it going, and it was against backups and others on the Carolina side of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mad at it. I think it's fine. You got a new quarterback. You got a rookie wide receiver. You got another wide receiver that's never really played healthy for you. You got a rookie running back now. You got new offensive line pieces you're trying to figure out. I'm not mad whatsoever at them for keeping them in and trying to build up a little confidence, trying to build some good reps. Yeah.
That made me smile because it was like, listen, I saw some of Ron Rivera that I knew from Philadelphia. I didn't see the guy I saw last year. Like, oh, we're going to go 10 plays, and they go 10 plays, and he pull them out. I saw the guy that said, no, I'm not happy with this. And you all going to make me happy before I take you out. Joe Jackson Gibbs would do the same thing also.
Well, and speaking of that Ron, of the hard-ass Ron, whatever we want to call him, right?
He's not hard-ass. It's just a coach doing what he's supposed to do. When your players don't do what you're expecting, don't let them think that they did what you expected. Make them go back out there. That'll change the mindset.
And let's think a little broader than Keeping Wentz out there, right? Because I think it was the right decision. He fired a coach last week. Obviously, something happened, but that remains a big deal. And I find it telling that after the first preseason game, he's saying that he had a direct conversation with Jack Del Rio. We never heard stuff like that last year. This is the first preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you like to see. We're going to open the phone lines up at 11. Whatever you want to talk about from Saturday's game, if you liked Wentz, we got to talk Howell. I want to talk Howell when we come back here. If you like the rookies, what you think of Gibson, what you think of the running back situation, lot to break down with this Commanders game. We're going to have Mike Jones join us at noon. We're going to have Sam 48 join us at 1 o'clock. I mean, you know this already. We're going all Commanders all day. We'll talk a little baseball because I know the Nats are making a big call up that we'll be excited to watch. Speaking of that call up, CJ Abrams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kid's supposed to be here a long time, supposed to be a stud. Somebody, maybe we should call Rizzo. I don't know how we get a hold. Maybe Bees knows how to get a hold of C.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Abrams is going to need a house.
Yep.
And if you're going to need a house, there's only one dude in this city you should call. His name is John Leahy.
Well, he's looking for a fresh start, just like Gene was. He was retiring and wanted to get a fresh start in Carolinas. She enlisted the help of John and his Fine Living Group to get her Gaithersburg, Maryland home sold. Since John already has a database of buyers in waiting, it was a little more than a hiccup when the original buyer couldn't get their financing approved. No need to panic. John's team just went to the database and had another buyer ready in less than 24 hours. The closing was in less than 3 weeks, and Jean was on her way to her next chapter. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John's strategic marketing and huge buyer demand is selling homes up to $70,000 over asking price. Just think of what you could do with an extra $70,000 in your pocket. John offers you flexible fees, customized for your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time.
$70,000, I could use that, B.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing, man. You hear me and B. Mitch talk about Leahy, and sometimes it's just like we're throwing these numbers at you, and it's like, well, how can he do it? Here's how he does it. John Leahy has a deep bench of buyers in waiting, more than 10,000 buyers ready to buy your house. John and his team sell homes 5 times faster than other agents. Drive around your neighborhood. Drive around your friend's neighborhood right now. A year ago, 6 months ago, houses didn't last a day. They didn't last 48 hours. Now they're starting to sit. Now you need an expert. Now you need John Leahy. That's why I would call him if I was moving. 301-900-302. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Best thing you saw from the Commanders preseason opener. Worst thing you saw from the preseason opener. My worst thing, I'm putting it on the third down defense while the starters were out there. Yes, it was a short sample size. I know they're not game planning. Make a stop.
I saw two turnovers in a matter of two possessions. That's not good.
Fumble, good drive by Wentz, and then Heinicke came in the next play and threw a pick. So, yeah, it was two turnovers on three possessions.
I don't like that.
I'm with you, but here's my thing with the turnovers specifically. I think the players that made them, one of them, if everything breaks right, will never play. And the other one, there's an answer if this continues.
Yeah,
that's why I'm putting the defense higher on my list.
Defense is a one up there. But
there's wrong answer either way.
Turnovers to me are not good.
And all right,
especially the one person that's been having them for 3 years.
I think you could say both of them been having them for a few years. phone lines, 10 minutes. You could let us know what your best and worst was. 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are opening up. We got to talk about the kid, B. We got to talk about Howell. And I thought Howell was pretty impressive. I mean, I've said to you kind of privately that I really thought Howell had a chance to be a preseason star. But watching practice, watching him go, he's got a real rocket of an arm. It's kind of funny because some of the best traits of Taylor Heinicke are that he runs around and makes plays off, certainly, you know, off schedule, and provides that element of elusivity that's hard to generate. And you know, some of the best traits of Carson Wentz are he's got a rocket arm.
Yeah.
In some ways, Howell kind of is both of those things because he can run around and make you miss, but he's also got a big arm.
Yeah, he's kind of – I think he's kind of Taylor with a little bit more, and which in turn makes him kind of like, you know, he's not as big as Carson, but his arm is damn near right there.
Yeah. He can spin it for sure, and he can move. I want to be clear that I like Howell and am encouraged watching him. I think this is a developmental prospect. If people want to call in and tell me he should be starting, that's fine. I don't think the Commander staff feels that way, but I do think he's fun to watch. And these like that Baltimore game where he's going to play probably the whole game against a Ravens defense that takes these things seriously, that's going to be really interesting to watch, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think ultimately this kid, Sam Howell, comes in here with tons of talent. And we heard people discuss if he had come out the year before, how things would have been different for him when it came to the draft. But he went back to college. And his college lost tons of talent. It's amazing how he's blamed for his college losing tons of talent. You know what I mean? When you don't have the same level of talent that you had when people were thinking you could be a first, second round pick, how do you blame me when they don't have those level of people there anymore? I'm supposed to automatically just play like I did with the guys that had exceptional talent the year before? So
Right. Listen,
we talked about steal of drafts and this, that, and the other. I know it's just one game. But if this kid can keep improving and get back to what he was a year ago in college, 2 years ago in college, could this end up being the steal of the draft this year?
Could it? Sure.
I'm not saying this year. It could be a year or 2 years down the road. What if Sam Howell become the guy that everyone discussed after his junior year? You know what I'm saying? What if he becomes that guy if things don't work out and you got him here? Hell, you drafted him when? Fifth round? Yeah.
I mean, I would say I think the real question is if Howell can push Heinicke for the backup spot, and I don't believe that happens this year. But I would say next year, let's go through our best-case scenario at quarterback, right, B? Our best-case scenario is Carson Wentz throws for 4,100 yards, 30 touchdowns, 9 picks, and is the answer all year, starts 17 games. Ideally, there are no left-handed interceptions. And we don't see Heinicke, and we don't see Howell. Mm-hmm. So then what would happen next year is Carson's already under contract, and the contract is really pretty advantageous for Washington if he plays well. So you just keep him. There's nothing to consider, because what you would do then is you got Carson under contract, you got Howell on a rookie deal, and I think Taylor Heinicke is going to go on to have a nice backup quarterback career, similar to a Chase Daniels, similar to a Colt McCoy, similar to maybe a Jacoby Brissett, where he's going to bounce around from team to team, but make good money and be a helpful player in a lot of different locker rooms. Like, that's your best case scenario. And it isn't incredibly hard to see. The worst case scenarios get a lot different. My theory with Sam Howell is if Carson's playing well and this team is 8-3, 8-4, and Carson tweaks his elbow, he's going to miss 2 games, you go to Heinicke. Because he is a pro. He's shown he can do it at this level and win you some games. He might lose you some too, but ideally he can keep the ship steady and going. Now, if we get to December and things have gone nuclear for this team and they're 3-8, 3-10, whatever that may look like, if you get that far down the line, we've probably already seen Wentz and Heinicke. And at that point, I'm not against seeing Howell, seeing what he can do. But by far, the hope for Commanders fans, we don't see Howell. We don't see Heinicke. Wentz is great. That's what you want to happen here.
Oh, yeah, that's what you want. Totally.
I also want a Range Rover, so we'll see what happens. Phone lines open. Next, I want to go to the boys in the aquarium. Best thing they saw, worst thing they saw. I want to talk about this fight song. You'll hear from Ron Rivera talking about the defense that I have concerns about. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. Your reaction to the Commanders' first preseason game, a 23-21 loss to the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.